Week two of an intended six-week series. I decided to give myself grace with the insertion of the word intended this week. One of the so-called minor prophets, no less important than the major prophets, but in general we know that they wrote shorter pieces of God's word. Let's pick up again from the very start, and we're only going to read down through verse number 5 once again this week. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity? Why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. Verse 5, look among the nations and see. Wonder and be astonished. For I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. Verse 5, once again, look among the nations and see. Wonder and be astonished. For I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. The central message from the prophets was this: turn and be healed. Because you are declared followers of Christ, I can be certain that God is asking you, as part of your sanctification, He is asking you right now to turn in some area of your life. Right now. At any time, we may find ourselves heading the wrong way, veering off course, tempted to our old selves. I don't know why God doesn't take temptation away at the point of our salvation. But He doesn't. But listen, beloved, it's not the temptation that tells. For even Christ was tempted. It's the turn that tells. It's the turn that marks our faithfulness. And so, will we turn when we're headed the wrong way? Or will we dabble? When Amy and Joe and I went off to Annapolis years ago, one of the very first things they taught us was the about face. You're headed this way, and you need to be headed that way. This is the image that God would have for His people. But let us not fall prey to the dabble. The dabble is we're headed this way and we go off this way. Right? God asks us to turn. A committed turn. Far from a lukewarm turn. And be healed. And here's the promise. God promises redemption. He promises restoration. God promises healing through the blood of His only begotten Son. If only we turn. The psalmist reminds us of the importance of honesty. We asked that question last week. Psalm 25 in verse 21. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope, Lord, is in You.
And so as we enter the text this week, we once again find the prophet engaged in a conversation with God, seeing the prophecy that he's to carry forth to his people. The vision he sees, we remind ourselves, is a burden. It's very hard to understand. And frankly, he doesn't much care for it. You sense that in the words. He opens with what in the ESV is entitled Habakkuk's complaint. Complaint. And God answers in verse 5, "Look among the nations and see. Wonder and be astonished. For I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told." We may expect God to be greatly displeased with Habakkuk. We have this image when we bring such a word to God as a complaint, that perhaps we're going to be smacked around as a complainer. But God doesn't. He doesn't even warm up in this text by announcing who he is. He just answers Habakkuk. And we'll find very directly. Get over yourself, Habakkuk. You need to understand and the arrogance to believe that you can. Look beyond yourself. Your tiny, myopic view of the way that things are. Look up, God says. Look and see. Look and see. It's as if Habakkuk knows that God has been present in the past, and he prays that he'll be present in the future, but that somehow in his day God has gone missing. The in-between. God, you are missing today, Habakkuk prays. God, you are silent today, Habakkuk prays. And Habakkuk thinks, but is unwilling to utter, "God, perhaps you are unable today." Unfortunately for Habakkuk, this is not God's first rodeo with a complainer. Recall God's response to Job. Dan walked us through this recently. In verse chapter 38, God has listened long enough. And he says this, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge?" Who is this? You know, the guys love this part. "Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you make it known to me." God is not angry or belittling to Job, by the way, if you read it in context. But he is firm, and he is direct, and he is clear, and it is a corrective moment for Job. And unfortunately for Job, God does not give it all in one sentence. It goes on for several chapters. He says, "I am the creator." You know, he takes you through all the animals. "And I am the one in control. And I am the one that's sovereign and working all things for good. I am the one who works for my glory. And as we learned earlier this morning, my namesake. I am." You get to participate, Job, but don't get things out of order. "I am and you are not." The Lord answers Habakkuk similarly. "Look up." Wake up, he might say. That's what Jesus says to the church at Sardis, by the way, in chapter 3 of Revelation. Wake up. Get out of your head, the lens that you look through, where you're concerned about yourself. God tells Habakkuk, this is bigger than you. It's among the nations. Notice, nations has an S on the end of it. This is no longer just about the people of Israel. It's going beyond the people of Israel. God says, look and see. Move beyond your looking back. Move beyond your dreaming forward. Look and see. And when you do, wonder and be astonished. God challenges Habakkuk, if you'll only come back today, look and see, and prepare to be wondered and astonished. God declares very clearly, and don't miss it, I'm not away, and I'm not asleep, and I'm not missing it all, Habakkuk. I'm here, we read, doing a work in your day. We might add and remember, the psalmist is the one that writes, he who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Look among the nations and see, wonder and be astonished, for I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. Habakkuk, you're the one missing it. You are not focused on today. So this word today, this word today is central in the theme of verse 5 and the opening of this minor prophet's book. God expects Habakkuk to be present today. To be aware today. And to wonder in today. So, we might wonder, what has happened to Habakkuk that he's veered this way? That he's become a complainer to God? And why does it matter? A couple of thoughts we can glean from this text. Number one, and I promised Sophie I'd have these on the screen this week because she asked for that, and I failed you again. I did the slides, but I did not do the cord. And so, here we go. Because Habakkuk is not in the moment of today, because he's not in today, and he's caught dreaming of the glory years, he is missing the wonder of what God is doing today. He is missing it. Look, see, wonder, be established, God's word writes. God invites Habakkuk to purposely engage and to intentionally look for him. Do you know that one can casually look and still not see? It happens all the time. You drive to church. Your mind is actually seeing things, but there's not intentionality behind them for recall. The position and attitude of the one looking matters. Some may glance for God, not really expecting to see him. Giving it lip service. James writes straightforward in his epistle, such a person should not expect to see, for he is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by wind. That person must not suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. That person will not see. God invites Habakkuk. God challenges Habakkuk to stop, look, and see. A second thought. Because Habakkuk is not in the moment of today, he is not participating in the work of God in his moment. In his moment. We know that this prophecy will self-correct that by the time we get through chapter 3. But in this moment, not yet. I wondered, what exactly is Habakkuk doing in his day? We don't completely know for sure, but it seems that he's a bystander. He's already labeled himself a complainer. Can it be anything worse, though, than putting those two together? He's a complaining bystander. There's even more amplitude to it when we say he's standing by but still complaining to God. The one always longing for tomorrow. And in this case, a return of justice and righteousness. Longing for tomorrow, while Disney labeled it Tomorrowland, is absent today. Is missing it today. They're bystanding, not pulling the oar. Participating in the grandeur, in the work of God in this moment today. This is the position that we find Habakkuk in. Habakkuk is not in the place that God desires him to be. A third thought, because Habakkuk is not in the moment of today, he has made God very small. Look at his relationship with God. It's very casual, inappropriate before a most holy God. It takes a whole lot of casual to say to God, "Where the heck are you?" To say that God doesn't care, that He's absent, completely misses scriptural history of God's people. If we make God small in our minds today, you can be assured that God is small in your mind in all days. In all ways. Lacking wonder. But the Bible recoils against that. It says God's very big. We all know that God is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And God is well beyond us, far beyond us. Habakkuk has made God very small indeed at this point in the prophecy. Habakkuk is still not in the moment today, and therefore he has lost trust in God. He has lost trust in God. God tells him that he would not believe even if told. He would not believe even if told. And we say, woe be it to Habakkuk. You are off track when even if God told you, you wouldn't believe. People, we can become so disillusioned with God that we wouldn't believe Him even if He told us. We might say in summary that Habakkuk, because he's still not in the moment of today, has become chronically dissatisfied with God. There could be no other interpretation of verses 2 through 4 than that the prophet is chronically dissatisfied with God. And I'll say this with hopefully gentleness. In any given week, pastors, me too, Dan too, pastors all around the world get any number of suggestions from people that sit within the pews. And some that don't even come to the pews. And most of the time, those begin with, I would like to, such and such, fill in the blank with whatever your personal thing is. And they end with, that would really bless me. That would really bless me. And they're stated in terms of first person almost exclusively. If you did such and such, it would make me happy. It would help me be blessed. And notice the language of Habakkuk's complaint and the way that God comes back on him. In verse 1, "Oh Lord, how long shall I cry for help?" He has made this an individual sport instead of a corporate sport. Verse 3, "Why do you make me see iniquity?" Habakkuk has made his chronic dissatisfaction with God verbal. Do you see that in verse 3? "Why do you, God, look idly at wrong?" God is to blame. Habakkuk is self-centered. It needs to be about him. He makes it about him. He confesses it's about him. The way he feels, his world, his viewpoint, his happiness, his understanding, his perspective. His is inside-out thinking, God says in verse number 5. This is about the nations within us. And God answers them very directly. Get a hold of yourself. This is not about you. It's about me, we read in Psalm 115, verse 1. And to the wider extent, we, us, nations. Let it be said this day that continual self-focus leads invariably, always, to dissatisfaction with God. This is the lesson of this first part. All glory to God that we're going to see the maturing redemption of Habakkuk as we pull this thread through. Paul writes to the church at Philippi, complete my joy by being of the same mind. How can we possibly be of the same mind with 60 of us in here? It's because the most important thing is his namesake and not ours. Audubon family, God desires our faithfulness and worship and trust today. Today. It's not that he's not interested in what he's already done. I mean, he remembers, right? The God that we profess is big, he remembers that. And it's not even that he's not interested in what he will do. He knows what he will do. It's just that that's not our time. The time of today he is determined to be our time among those that are here in this church today. And that, by the way, is how he shall measure our faithfulness. Well, we're so glad for the cloud of witnesses, those that have even gone beyond before here in this church. They were not of our day. This is our day. Today is our time. And it's enough. Let me tell you, it's enough. It's all we can handle today. And Jesus teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. This day. Just enough. We're not going to be like those Israelites, are we? Where we're going to try to hoard it and store it up. Just give me enough today. And Joe and I have been thinking about a particular proverb recently where the writer says this way in chapter 30, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needed for me today, lest I be full and deny you. Whoa. So we must reflect, each one that's gathered here. Will we miss it all by longing for a time other than our own? Will we be satisfied in him today? Or will we be like Habakkuk, chronically dissatisfied with God in the day that he has gifted each one of us? The implication of these questions are far-reaching for everyone, including this pastor. I would say to the moms, are you satisfied in him today? Perhaps amid the chaos that a home with young children is by definition. Perhaps when you wonder whether anyone sees your work, whether it's kingdom work, whether it's consistent with what he would have for you, when you're not sure that it matters, are you satisfied in him today? Don't long for tomorrow. Today. Are you faithful today? And I wrote here, the most experienced brothers and sisters amongst us. Are you satisfied in him today? Amid the changes that he brings in this church, every church goes through life cycles and they are upon us. When we sing a new song, come behold the wondrous mystery. Actually, we've sung that one before, I think, but still newish. When you're weary and those friends increasingly go to be with God and you are not, are you satisfied in him today? This is the measure of your faithfulness that he seeks. Single one, you dreamed of being married by this point, perhaps. Raising a family of your own. Guess what, Mom? Those young gals look at you and watch you and envy you. Single one, are you satisfied in Him this day? We could go on, could we not? Each one of us have our own thing that the Spirit is pricking upon us. Here's the punchline. God is most glorified through us when we are most satisfied in Him today. We gather as the church in the park this morning. Audubon Baptist Church. Our satisfaction in God, our lack therein, carries consequences when we come together. We're a church revitalization. A descriptor that the North American Mission Board applies to about 85% of Southern Baptist churches. Those that have plateaued or, knock on wood, can remember the glory days. I want you to know it's okay that that's what we are, because this is our day. This is the day God has given us. And more than your church, more than my church, this is God's church. And God's Word tells me that He is doing a work in this day. I believe that. I see it in God's Word. But here's the thing. God asks us to be with Him, to participate with Him in this day. Not yesteryear and not tomorrow land. But He asks us to be here today. This day is different than when the Rice Building was first utilized March 15, 1964. It's different than that day. And it's different than the day that's going to be before us in 2025 when we gather within the pews too. This is the day. And by the way, our day is His day. That's what we see in verse number 5. And so I read Habakkuk and I hear God strongly urging us onward. And He asked us, Audubon Baptist Church, will you be with me today? He declares, I'm not missing, I'm not absent, and I'm certainly not unable. Look and see, He invites. Wonder and be astonished. This is the day the Lord has made. We will choose to be glad in it. I choose, and we're finally to the decision point, to be satisfied in Him. We choose to be satisfied in Him. Decision point, week 2. Will we choose to be satisfied in Him? I pray that it would be so amongst you in your individual life, and I pray that it would be so among God's people that are gathered as a church in the park.